Hi, my name is Josh Thieler of Slaves BC, and you are listening to my chapter of As the Story Grows.
Is it Thieler or Thieler?
Thieler.
Are you sure? Pretty sure it's Thieler. I've been saying Thieler for years.
You know, after 3 years, my boss still says Thieler, so maybe it is Thieler.
What would you say you do here?
Have a good time all the time.
Dominate.
Who's got it better than us?
Nobody!
What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm blathering about. I've got information, man.
Gosh, to be realistic.
What do you love about music?
Man being realistic.
As the story grows.
I always wanted to be part of a small rebellion.
You got this, Travis. Make them wait for it. Boom.
Thank you very much. My name is
Josh Thieler of Slaves BC.
And I am most handsome. And to prove my point, I have produced a video. And I hope you enjoy it. Plus, press play. Welcome back to the next chapter of As the Story Grows. My name is Trav, and I'm talking to Josh Thieler, if that is your real name.
It's not.
Of Slaves BC and Twilight Fauna and some other stuff. And We have a lot to talk about, man. Fear in the Void Records, Cursed Breath, or Cursed Breath?
Cursed.
Cursed? Cursed Breath.
Spelled
with a V, because metal. And you're like the busiest, handsomest man in hardcore. You're still the handsomest man in hardcore.
Aw, thank you. Even though I'm not involved in hardcore anymore, somehow.
You were the first guest.
Wow.
Yeah, look at that face. You were the first guest. I'll prove it. I'll pull it up right now. Hold on.
I didn't know I was the first.
I think you were the first, as the story grows. So I scroll all the way back.
So after the interview with me, if I was your first, why did you keep going? I would have thought that would have been like, nope, not doing this anymore.
Yeah, you'd think so, right? So Jesse interviewed me and then asked me to be a co-host.
That's right. Yeah.
Then we had just an episode with just him and I, but I was already quote unquote on the show. Then technically our first guest was Seth W, because he's the grandpappy of the internet. You're the first.
He's the grandpappy of the internet.
Yep. You're the first banned person that I ever interviewed. And I also have to thank you. You are the single reason that I even know who, I totally forgot the name. I just flaked on it. We were talking about vocals, and you introduced me to Foxy Shazam.
Oh, dang.
You're the first.
You're welcome.
You're the first and only person to ever mention Foxy Shazam to me, and I fell way down a rabbit hole with them. They're a fantastic band.
I'm pretty sure you made fun of me when I said Foxy Shazam.
Because that's a horrible name. But then you listen to them, and you're like, it's actually a perfect name for this band. They're totally a Foxy Shazam.
It is.
Yeah, that episode aired. Dude, are you sitting down?
Yeah.
actually, I can see that you're sitting down. December 13th, 2014.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a thing. It's been like three and change, man.
I don't think I'd even graduated kindergarten by then.
I know, you were probably like 14 at the time. You're probably not even old enough to be on the show.
I'm not. I have a fake ID.
I believe it. And look at you now, all grown up with your... This is your second full length since we started hanging out and talking, and Slays BC is a thing, and you started your own label, you started your own PR company. You're the busiest, handsomest man in hardcore. That's why you're on my show.
Thank you. Well, I'm glad that you could find time for me. I mean, I'm glad that I could find time for you.
Right.
I'm
not busy.
Yeah. All the bribes you sent me helped.
All the bribes. So I'm going to recommend, and I'm going to put in links that people go back and talk and listen to me and Jesse, the original host of the show, before I hijacked it and stole it. Talk to Josh, pushing 3.5 years ago, and I'll put that link in the show. But now we're circling back around. And because I've spoken to everybody in music since then, we're going to have to start repeating guests. So here you are. And your band that you play drums and sing for, which is rad, by the way. I cannot do that. Has a full length coming out. So let's talk about it.
Okay. We have a full length coming out.
Yeah.
I have it right here. I'm actually surrounded by boxes of it right now.
I want that. So. I want that in my collection. You need to mail that to me.
Okay.
That's awesome. Artwork by you, I assume. I thought I saw that in notes, right?
Yes, artwork by me. Label by me, PR by me.
Yeah.
It's because nobody else will do it. You know, nobody wants to spend money on this, which is justifiable, so... You know,
right?
Just gotta fill the gaps.
So there you go,
there's
kids.
There's a lot of gaps.
There you go, kids. You want it? So we always talk about DIY on the show and doing it yourself and everything. This guy went as far as like making his own label, making his own PR, so that way he can hide behind the fact that it's actually just him doing everything. But it sounds legitimate, right?
And you know what's funny is I didn't think the PR thing would work, but like I saw, so I started that for a couple of reasons, because there were certain websites that I was trying to get a hold of, and they said they would ignore anything that wasn't like represented from a PR company. So, and I was just like,
screw it.
That's stupid. Like, you know, like how much music are they missing out on because of that? And then there was a particular contact I was trying to get a hold of because I knew that he would want our record. And I couldn't find a contact. So I asked somebody that I knew that I interact with that has their own PR thing on Twitter. And he was like, yeah, I have that contact. And it'll be $1,200 to run the PR campaign for your album. And I was like, yo, dude, I don't want to do that. Like, I just was asking, since we're cool, if you had that guy's email address. And he was like, yeah, and for $1,200, I'll email him for you. And I was like, are you really charging, like, no-name bands that make no money? You're charging them that much money just to send one copied email to your email contacts? I was like, that is ridiculous. So I started Curse Breath PR, and it immediately worked. Like, people paid attention because they were like, oh my gosh, there's like this new PR thing that's like representing these bands, like, let's check it out. And like, people cared. I don't know why, but it worked.
So, okay, wow, you kind of just blew my mind a little bit. So when I started As the Story Grows, I definitely wanted to talk to industry people, not just people mm-hmm. in bands. It's rad to talk to people in bands. Like, how fun is it to talk to like Sean Ingram from Coalesce? That was like, you know what I mean? But you're like both now, and like, I know people in PR firms, and I can't fathom that there's a bunch of slaves BCs all over the country paying $1,200 to send out an email to people that they just already know and are already cool with. It seems like PR to me is just who you know already, kind of. You're just like a networking hub, central nut kind of a dude. How do you, like, explain how that works?
Well, so actually, the $1,200 was the first quote that I got. I actually contacted somebody else that I knew, and they quoted me almost $3,000 to send the email. And I was just like, "You got to be kidding me! Like, this is impossible. You know, like, that's as much. That's more than the record pressing.
Sure,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so." And then the third person I hit up quoted me like 800 or something.
What are they like, the bargain? Was that like the bargain basement generic?
That was
person?
The cheapest one I could find,
man.
You know? And like, and that's asinine. So like now, like I'm doing it like way cheaper. Like I'm only charging people so that I don't have to do PR for everyone, because I don't have time to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So that I know that they're serious and they're not just sending me like the equivalent of a MySpace demo. And then like if it's like something that's really good and I believe in it, and I know my contacts personally, I'll know what they'll like. And if I don't think that those contacts will like the music that, you know, these bands want to put out, I won't take their money. You mm-hmm. know, like, I don't want to waste their time and mine. But I mean, really, that's all it is. Like, the reason that bands aren't doing this themselves is because like they're just trying to pop up on the scene, and they don't really care about like the scene itself. They don't care about networking. They don't care about getting to know people.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, they're like, oh, I'm going to be the next Amir or Attila or something. And they're like just jumping on and being like, hey, everybody, like our band, you know, and, you know, buy all our stuff and do our GoFundMe. But they don't like actually talk to any of the people in the industry or talk to the fans. Like, for real, right. You know, or even other bands to get advice. So it's like anybody could do what I did, and most people would probably do what I did better. It's just I was just hanging out and talking to people that I was interested in, and then all of this came about. So
I could start a PR firm. All I have to do is tell people, scroll through the As the Story Grows page. I can email, text, or Facebook instant message every single person on there with your information, mm-hmm. and I can charge people $1,500, $2,000 to do so?
Yeah, well, I mean, the people that you have on yours are mostly bands, but right. Yeah. Like, if you had label people, if you had, like, people that write for different websites or that do really terrible podcasts.
Like mine.
You know, like yours.
Right.
Then you could say that and people would be like, oh, that's amazing. Like, how did you get this stuff? Like, I went on the quest for the Holy Grail to get all this stuff. And it's just like, no, I just talked to people on the internet and I went to shows and I talked to people.
Right.
And I've been talking and going to shows for like over 20 years. So you just get to know people. So if you're just trying to fly in and get famous and make a bunch of money doing a really crappy deathcore record or whatever, it's not going to work for you. But like, if you're doing it because you love music and you love creativity, you love what other people are doing and are supporting the music and the art, then, you know, my method works.
Interesting. So who, like, go ahead, dude, you're on a podcast. I mean, I don't know. I would say 800 to 1,000 people are probably going to hear this. So you're a PR guy. Who have you been dealing with? Who's on your radar right now?
Well, that's a crazy question. So technically right now, no one is on my radar because I've been focusing on our record, which I'm on a hold of all other things, partially because my job, which has been the best job I ever had, actually got terrible recently. So I've been working like 12 to 16 hours a day and then trying to do like the PR stuff for Slaves BC. So I have no time to do what I usually do.
Gotcha.
The most recent band that I represented was a sledgy doom band out of Ohio called Death Crawl. Mm-hmm. And they put out a record in October, and it was, I mean, if you like slow, oppressively heavy things,
oppressively heavy.
It's fantastic. and like they put on nice dudes, they put on a great live show, you know, like, you know, but like usually, you know, I started writing for websites like Nine Circles. Done a little bit of stuff for Noisy and some others, but that was purely just so that I could get access to all of the music all the time. So like usually I get over 100 new albums in my inbox a week, and I usually listen to every one, and whether I write about it or not, like I still talk about it, you know, even if I'm not their PR guy. If it's a great record, I tell everyone, you know, like, listen to this, this is amazing, you know. So but just right now I haven't been listening to anything, and it makes me sad.
2 hours later.
So I have my personal Instagram account. I have an Instagram account for Slaves VC. I have an Instagram account for Fear in the Void Recordings, and an Instagram account for Thanos the Boston, which is the dog that I held up to you earlier. And then I convinced Paul from Twilight Fauna that we should have an Instagram account, and he hated Instagram and thought it was stupid and never wanted one. And now, after I created it for him, he posts every single day. Every day. Like, he's just taking pictures of trees and snow and like, oh, look, there's a squirrel, and like, you know, puts a weird filter on it and says atmospheric black metal, and all the people love it, you know, because it's like, oh, it's nature, it's Appalachia, you know. So, which, you know, it works. He's very genuine about it, and people can tell. So
it's one thing I've noticed about atmospheric black metal is all the artwork just looks like postcards.
Yeah, that's, you know, I never thought about it that way, but
it's
that's
weird, right?
Do you?
It totally looks like, hey, we're in the mountains, wish you were here, except yep. You take away the wish you were here, hey, we're in the mountains part, and you put in an illegible black metal logo, and it's an album yep. cover. And, like, you guys just have two clowns standing in the woods.
So it's really funny that you say that, because deciding who's going to fold their arms and who's not going to fold their arms.
Right, yeah. Who's going to look at the camera and who's going to look down at their feet. Yeah.
We actually argue about it because, like, I'm not paying attention and I'm just usually just like... And he'll be like, no, you folded your arms last time. We can't both fold our arms. Because the first photo that we had together, we both had our arms folded. I didn't give a shit. I was tired and sweaty. I had just recorded drums for 8 hours. And he's like, oh, we need to get our first band photo. And I was just like, I couldn't feel... my arms.
We've been on the phone for an hour and we haven't talked about anything yet. We're adorable.
I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. I like you too. I like you too. We met in a men's bathroom at a sandwich shop in Pittsburgh and we had a great time. That sounded horrible. I mean, it's less sexy than you think it is.
I thought it was pretty sexy. I was going to bring up a photo of our album cover so that you could see it. The new Twilight Fauna full length is coming out this year, but it's basically, like you said, it's just like, it's a scene of a mountain with a field and some birds flying and like some yellow flowers blooming. And it's just like, it's a postcard.
It's a postcard.
That is exactly a postcard.
It's a postcard. Why don't you tell me a little bit about Fear in the Void? Why are you laughing?
I don't know. It's just funny. Okay. So, Fear in the Void is something that a friend of mine and I, so, who I think is still anonymous, who the friend is. You know who the friend is, but...
I assume I know who the friend... Do I know who the friend is?
You do. But he's anonymous for one reason or another. But so anyway, I guess I get to be the face of Fear in the Void. And, you know, that's just part of the responsibility when you're the handsomest, busiest man in hardcore. You get to be the face of a black and death metal record label. But
okay.
Basically, we just started it because... there was a lot of bands out there that we really, really liked, and we weren't seeing them get the deals that we thought they deserved. Like, for one reason or another, they weren't getting a chance to, you know, get their record put on vinyl. And I don't know. My thought is, if Slaves BC can get put on a vinyl, then anybody can. And some of these bands are just, like, so good. Like, you know, I was talking, like, I was writing for Nine Circles, and all these promos showing up in my inbox every week, and it was just like, I would look these bands up, and it would be a digital only release, and I'd be like, I would kill for this to be on a vinyl record. You know, like, this would sell like hotcakes if somebody put this record out. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, well, nobody's putting these bands out, and for whatever reason we want to, so we started the Fear in the Void.
Who are you guys dealing with?
The first record that we put out is a split 12 inch with Twilight Fauna, you know, so that's half me, and then the other side is a band called Evergreen Refuge, which is very similar in style to Twilight Fauna, but instead of Appalachian black metal, it's Cascadian atmospheric black metal, because that's the region that he's from. But Evergreen Refuge is just absolutely breathtaking, just so beautiful. Wow. His take on black metal. The first time I listened to Evergreen Refuge, I cried.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the dude just, like, I don't know, like, he just, like, goes out into the woods and he comes back a couple months later and he's like, oh, I'm gonna write this album now, and then just sits down and does the whole thing by himself, you know, and it's just incredible, you know. And I was really excited to put a record out that had him on half of it. So we did that record, and then we did the first ever vinyl pressing of a power metal band out of Canada called Unleash the Archers.
Canada.
Yeah. So my partner is actually, my label partner is obsessed with that band and really wanted to put that record out. So we did their first full length on vinyl. And then we did a band called Young Hunter, which is like, it's like really interesting layered, like desert rock kind of.
Desert rock? What does that mean?
Oh, you don't know about desert rock. Well,
when you say desert rock, the first band I think of is Queens of the Stone Age. Am I accurate?
Yeah, they were like a part of all that.
Okay.
So, like, bands like Fu Manchu and
nice.
Truck Fighters and things like that. It's kind of like that, but if you could make those bands, if those bands decided to write sad music, that would be Young Hunter. So it's very similar stylistically, but it's emotionally haunting to listen to.
Okay.
So I don't know. And then we're putting out a record for Slaves BC. Against our better judgment, I didn't want to sign Slaves BC. So,
but you are Slaves BC. Why wouldn't you want to sign it? Why don't you believe in your own stuff?
I was really excited about the record. You know, to get to be involved in literally every aspect of the record, then, you know, so it's like I got to do the art for it, write the lyrics, do the drums, vocals, be there to, like, when all the guitar and stuff was being written. I got to play some noise and feedback on it, and then, like, you know, being involved with getting it sent out to be pressed on vinyl, you know, and running the PR for it. It's just, you know, it's like getting to be there for every stage of your child growing up, kind
mm-hmm.
of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah.
So let's talk about this new Slaves BC record then.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Seriously, I have to like. So let's talk about this new Slaves BC record then.
So we're putting out a new full length record, both on vinyl and digital. It's coming out March 16th through The Fear and the Void. And stylistically, I know you listened to most of the album, but stylistically, we tried to go farther with some of the aspects of, you know, the music on our last record, All Is Dust and I'm Nothing. We found out what we could do on the last record. So it wasn't quite as focused as it probably could have been. Cause we were like, hey, we can do a song that's like this, and then we can have this kind of part in, you know, the song. But, that was like our experimentation a little bit. And then we were like, after that, we knew what we really wanted to do. And what we really wanted to do is the music that you get to hear on Low and I Am Burning. Okay.
The music we really wanted to do is the album that you put out. What do you mean? What do you mean by that? Like, go a little further into that.
So throughout, you know, our history as a band, it's mostly just been that we're, you know, as cheesy as it sounds, we're best friends and we're hanging out and we want to make music, you know. And initially, the members that were in the band had very differing musical influences and interests, you know. Like one of our founding guitar players did not like metal or hardcore, and, you know, really loved Smashing Pumpkins and Radiohead and stuff like that. And then we had Sean, who, the other founding guitar player, he was really into like Children of Bodom and Necrophagist and a bunch of bands like that. But like, mostly we just associate Sean with nu metal. He, much to his chagrin, but like, he was totally into nu metal when he was younger, which is fine. A lot of people were. But and then there was me, where I was coming from kind of a lot of different stuff, but all different subgenres of hardcore and metal. And when we would get together to write, we didn't really know, you know, it was just because we were hanging out. There was a basement there with instruments in it, and we just wanted to see what would happen if we picked them up, you know. And like, we still had kind of that same mentality through the first half of the writing process of All Is Dust. And then the last half, Sean and I did, I was going to say most of, I think we did all the writing ourselves, and we just kind of like really clicked on what we wanted to do. And after putting out that record, we're like, we want to do more of that, but we want to go farther with it, you know. So like, we realized that we could play, you know, in a black metal style, like, or a death metal or whatever. Like, physically, I myself could not play the drums in that way, you know, earlier in our career or whatever. Like, we were just playing and writing what we could actually physically do, and, mm-hmm. you know, what we had the experience to do. So as we've evolved as musicians, and as we've grown more and more comfortable with each other musically, we're like honing in there, and like, this is the result. Like, you know, like, I think as we continue on, like, Low and I Am Burning is like where all of this stuff is cutting off. Like, everything that came before is what it was, but Low and I Am Burning is like our turning point, and that's the direction that we're going to be going from now on. So, I mean, we have other little things that we want to try with some of the music that we're writing. You know, like we obviously have a lot of different music that we like. So there are things that we want to experiment with and incorporate into our music, but like we're definitely staying focused with like the whole black metal, death metal, doom metal feel. You know, we might add more noise to it, might experiment with some industrial influence in there a little bit.
What?
Going, yeah, we're gonna have some fun, but you know, like this is our base now.
Tell me a little bit about the lineup change between the previous album and this one.
Okay. So the previous album, it was me and Sean sharing vocal duties live while he was playing guitar, while I was doing drums, and me doing drums and vocals at the same time is horrible. I hate it. it feels like, I don't know, like, it feels like if you took somebody who had no previous training and told them to do some kind of Olympic event actually at the Olympics, that's what it felt like to me. It was like my body was immediately in horrible pain and sweating, and it felt like I was in shock and like about to pass out at every second. So anyway, I wanted to get away from that. Did you just fall down some stairs?
I didn't. I just readjusted my chair. I'm sure it sounded like I fell down some steps.
So the lineup was for All Is Dust and I Am Nothing. We had Sean and I sharing vocal duties while I was playing the drums and Sean was playing guitar. We had Rick, our other founding guitar player, on guitar, sometimes live, sometimes with writing and recording. And then Jason, our friend on bass, that we had for a couple years. And then recently, since All Is Dust, we replaced Jason on bass with Brandon. And Brandon has, you're going to hear a lot more influence from Brandon on our future material. He came on as the bass player, but he's kind of evolved into a second guitar player.
Okay.
Cause we lost Rick as our guitar player. And then Brandon replaced himself on bass with, his friend Adam. And Brandon has kind of stepped up to, like, you know, he has all these different kinds of pedals and just making all these crazy layers of noise and atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And he's making all this stuff that just sounds like a horror movie soundtrack just over top of the, you know, the black and death metal that Sean and I are writing together. And then I finally was able to replace myself on drums, at least so far, just for live purposes. Another Brandon, who used to play for a band called Meth Quarry. And mm-hmm. So he took over for drums, and I'm really excited about that because I get to be, you know, a front man again for the first time in like 5 years.
So you're on the new recording as the drummer, but live, you're just the vocalist.
That is correct. I'm hoping that changes, you know, like as everybody is practicing and playing together, that like, you know, those guys will get more comfortable playing with each other, and then I won't have to touch drums at all anymore for Slaves VC, and just focus on vocals. That would be ideal.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we've already recorded, 3 singles, since, recording Low and I Am Burning. One of those singles is out already. It's called Wither. And then there are 2 other singles that are not out yet because they're both still secrets, I guess. They're getting put out on compilations and stuff that we're not allowed to talk about.
Ooh.
Yeah.
We covered Fear in the Void. We covered Cursed Breath. We covered Slaves BC.
Mm-hmm.
What's next? What's next for Josh Thieler?
Well, Slaves BC actually has another release coming out this year that is not like a compilation single or something like that. We have a full length. Nope, not a full length. Sorry. After our full length that's coming out in March, we'll have a EP that's coming out that kind of is a whole band effort, which at the time meant whole band meant Brandon, Sean, and I trying to focus more on atmosphere and the doomy aspects, because Low and I Am Burning is kind of heavier on a lot of the faster parts. So we're focusing more on what we can do, you know, with slower tempos on this. And it's like a 22-minute song. And we're pretty excited about that, too. That'll be out sometime later this year, as yet to be determined. There's also a Twilight Fauna full-length coming out this year. That should be out sometime this summer. We recorded drums for that in, I think, October or something. Mm-hmm. I went down to Paul from Twilight Fauna's to record drums for a Vials of Wrath album, which I was really excited about because I love Vials of Wrath. But I was only supposed to be down there for a day, and after that day of recording Vials of Wrath, when I was supposed to leave, my car broke down. So I ended up getting stuck in Tennessee at Paul's house. So we were just like, hey, let's record a Twilight Fauna album.
Really?
Yeah. So we did. we did. I think it's the best album that we've done together. Mm-hmm. And that'll be coming out sometime in the summer, as well as the Vials of Wrath album will be coming out sometime this year. And then I'm currently trying to practice up for, in a couple weeks, I'm going to record an Arete full length, Arete, which is kind of like a atmospheric black metal supergroup, if you will.
What?
Okay, so it's Dylan from Evergreen Refuge.
Okay.
He does guitars, bass, and drums on it. And then Chase from Deafest, and he does guitars as well. Paul from Twilight Fauna, he does vocals and then like additional folk instrumentation, like whether that be banjo or any of the strange instruments that he has in his house. Okay. And then me. They're really good. It's an amazing record, and it might be the best record I've ever been a part of.
That's coming out when?
Well, I'm recording the drums for it on March 2nd, so it'll be out sometime later this year.
Very cool. Okay.
And that will be on vinyl, but not on the Fear in the Void recordings, and we did get signed for it, but it's not announced yet, so.
Okay, all right. Top secret stuff.
Double secret.
Double secret. Secret collect. Do you think, it seems like you kind of made your own brand with Slaves BC and the drumming and then Fear in the Void recordings and then Cursed Breath and everything. Do you feel like they're all kind of feeding off each other and getting you to the point that you're getting now?
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's, you know, similar to what we said earlier, you know, like you talk about DIY a lot on your show. It's, you know, a lot of this stuff was born out of necessity. You know, it's not technically that I wanted to spend a year, you know, working on album artwork, you know, for one release. It's just it needed to be done by somebody, and we weren't, you know, I didn't have the money to pay for it.
Right.
So I made myself the person that could do it, you know, like, and it's just, I want to learn to do all these different kinds of things, because I don't think I'll be playing this style of drums forever. Like, I don't know if I'll physically be able to, you know, or I don't know if I'll physically be able to do vocals like this, you know, forever.
Right.
I get so that. I want to have my backups ready, and I want to already be known for the backups before I get to that point, so that I can always do something to contribute to this style of music. You know, like, I don't want it to be like, oh, can't play drums anymore, you know, got arthritis, you know, right. In my hands, can't hold the sticks. Like, I guess I'm just giving up on, you know, I'm giving up on music. I'm giving up on, you know, this style of music. It's like, no, like, I want to, you know, I'll book shows. I'll do artwork. I'll, you know, I'll do PR. I'll write about it, you know, as a music critic. You know, maybe by that point, like, I want to get into, you know, like, mixing and, you know, sound recording and stuff like that, you know, just so that I can be anything that I need to be for someone who wants to create art and doesn't yet have the means to do so.
I totally get that. And you've got a target already painted on that at 30 years old. Good move. That's a good idea.
It's like, this has been my entire life. Like, I have loved metal in all its forms since I was a small child. I'm 30 now. I don't anticipate that ever changing, and I want to prepare for the future to be whatever I need to be.
I think that's a good place to cut it off, man.
Okay.
What an excellent conversation. Thank you so much for coming on.
I thank you. I'm really glad you didn't ask me about lyrics.
Visit the site at asthestorygrows.com and subscribe so you don't miss anything.
Special thanks to Brian Patton, who helps me out with the interviews, scheduling, and editing of this show.
Visit the Bandcamp link in the notes of this show for some free cover songs, some free tunes, and merch.
If you like what you heard and would like to help, there's a Patreon link on every episode, or you can look for the dollar sign on the website for one-time donations.
If you can't afford to donate, no problem. Tell a friend, and thank you so much for listening today.
Oh, as the story grows, the more I want to know, the more I want to show you. As the story
grows.
We love you. Take care. Bye-bye.